Welcome in the latest episode of That SEC Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Breton. Go by SEC Mike, go on the Twitters. And there's our great friend, Stephen Lassen, senior editor over at Athlon Sports. Stephen, we missed you last week. How you been?
Hey, Mike. It's great to be back this week. It's good to catch up with you and all the cousins. Missed hanging out with you guys last Monday. But, man, I enjoyed all the content you guys have been delivering from SEC Media Days, top-notch stuff. So kudos to you, Cousin Shane, and the crew over there at That SEC Podcast. Best place to get SEC content on the internet. So happy to be here on Monday night and contributing. Man, we're like... But just over a month away from kickoff. That's pretty exciting.
We are. And man, I'm seeing a lot of love in the comments for Cousin Shane. We appreciate you. Anybody that missed it, the SEC Morning Hangover, that was debuted this morning. If you missed it, you can check it out. That's the beauty of YouTube, Stephen. If you miss it live, you can watch it at any point. And Cousin Shane's going to be doing that every morning, 7:30 Eastern, 6:30 Central. That's way too early for me, Stephen. I don't know about you, but again, that's the beauty of YouTube. So go check it out. Next, I can't wait to see where Cousin Shane will go next on his SEC Morning Hangover. And we got so many interviews still to come. Posted Cole Cube, like an hour with Cole. That's on the YouTube channel. Don't turn this off. When it's over, go check it out if you missed it. But hey, Stephen, as always, we launched last week all our coverage presented by MyBookie back for another season. So want to give them a shout out, MyBookie.ag. That's the website. You put in an initial deposit. If you put in a promo code SEC, it's on the bottom of the screen. It's going to be there all season. They will instantly match 100% of whatever you put in as an instant deposit over at MyBookie.ag. So they covered our way to media day. So we're helping them out to promote their website. So, Stephen, I say all that to say we got a lot to cover, man. Stephen's nervous about some of these records. He's already told me.
Extremely nervous, Mike. I have been thinking about this since you and I talked about doing this idea yesterday. And so there's been some revisions. I would say I don't feel confident about these predictions, but we got to go on record at some point. And so I got something down on paper. Maybe it changes in the next hour. Who knows?
All right. Well, hey, again, so we are going to give out official records predictions for each and every team. Best case, worst case, and a bold prediction, a weekly bold prediction from Stephen and I. But before we get to that, real quick, Stephen, I just want to get your thoughts on the media day. The media poll, for anybody that missed it, we highlighted this yesterday, but apparently my audio was so horrible, no one could really hear me anyway. Hopefully it's a little bit better. But Texas, Stevens, Texas, voted number one, no surprise. Georgia 2, Bama 3, LSU 4, South Carolina 5, Florida 6, Ole Miss 7, A&M 8, Tennessee 9, Oklahoma 10, Auburn 11, Mizzou 12, Vandy 13, Arkansas 14, Kentucky 15, and Mississippi State 16. So shout out to Stevens, Texas Longhorns. But that's the good news. The bad news is I don't think the media has gotten the champion right in like 20 years or maybe once or twice during that time, but not many times. What stands out to you, Stephen, aside from your Texas Longhorns, number one?
Right. So congratulations to Georgia or Alabama or LSU, right? They're like in the driver's seat. Texas is one and the media can't get this number one team right. So it's going to be somebody else in that top four. I think the first thing that jumped out to me was the Alabama LSU debate at 3 and 4. Alabama got the nod at 3, LSU at 4. That's one of the things I've been wrestling with a lot the last couple months since our magazine comes out. I think maybe I'm a little bit higher on Alabama than I was like back in April. So I agree with what the SEC media has here. The other thing is I like Oklahoma higher than 10th. I am buying some stock in this Oklahoma team. Maybe it's like media days, Kool-Aid and everything this offseason, but I was going back and watching some of John Mateer's tape last year and continue to get excited for what Oklahoma's offense could be with a full offseason of Mateer and Arbuckle coming over from Washington State, plus that defense. So I'm a little bit higher on Oklahoma at 10. But also, Mike, I think this poll kind of encapsulates what's ahead this year in the SEC, is that it feels like there are four teams in that tier one, and 5 through 12, you can shake them up a couple different ways and feel good about it. That's the hardest part of figuring out your preseason rankings is 5 through 12. There's not a ton of separation here, I don't think.
Yeah, I would agree with that, Stephen. But I would like to point out to all the cousins out there, did you see what Stephen did? He said, Bama, number 3, LSU, 4. It's not how he put it in the magazine, Athlon Sports. Go get it now if you haven't already. But he said, but I agree with it. So he's covered all his bases. So it don't matter whether LSU's 3, he's right. If they're 4, he's right. I see what you did. I just didn't want that to go unnoticed. I'm not letting right. you get away with it, Stephen.
I think I've been hanging around you for too long because I think you talked me into Alabama at 3. So, you know, I will say, like, well, yeah, 100%. You got me on record for that one. I think one of the things about, you know, college football now is, like, 5 years ago, I would have felt 100% convicted in a preseason prediction by April because you knew who was on the team. You've had months to figure it out. We had a bunch of roster changes in December and January, and then we had even more in March, April, May. We know less about these teams than we ever did before. And so my mind has probably changed on a couple of these predictions since the magazine, and we just had more time to accumulate data and let the dust settle on the transfer portal. So that is college football 2025 in a nutshell right there.
Right. Okay. That sounded like a long excuse. But all right. Hey, Steven, shout out Austin. Austin has gifted a membership to Michael Lynn. Michael, welcome to the family.
Welcome to the family.
I see Michael Lynn in the comments. Very appreciative of you, Austin. So thank you so much for supporting the show. Also, shout out the legend.
The legend, Cousin JR, has done it again.
Thank you, JR. JR has just gifted a membership to Cousin Tony Mathis, who's always here. We appreciate you, JR, who sponsors the show officially.
The memberships in this podcast are brought to you in part by Cousin JR.
And not to be outdone, maybe my favorite, Stephen, after that excuse of what you said. Stephen up!
Always showing up for them boys in Tuscaloosa. It's Stephen up. Roll Tide.
Thank you, Stephen Up. He just gifted Sean Wilson. Sean Wilson, welcome to the family. And Liquid, shout out Liquid, our guy Liquid. He's our IT expert as well, Stephen. He says, thanks for all the hard work the past week to cut together all those episodes while traveling. Great content. We appreciate you, Liquid. And not to be outdone, he has gifted a membership too. Stephen, look at this. We got people in our IT department. Unofficially, officially, whatever you want to say. He has gifted a membership to Tyler Walker. Tyler, welcome to the family. We appreciate each and every one of you for supporting the show. Truly independent. And I'm glad they noticed, Stephen, because I don't think anybody at the SEC knows when they put us in the corner and they don't let us. We try to get Greg Sankey on the show. We try to get, anybody there. We try to get them on the show. But I think, still, there's a lot of people who have no clue who we are, probably for a good reason. But the cousins know, and they're supporting us, so we very much appreciate it.
Yeah, I was going to say, that was my biggest disappointment for SEC Media Days, is the disrespect of that SEC podcast. We're going to have to have a conversation before next year, right?
Quite honestly, I don't know we deserve any respect. Shane deserves respect. I don't know if I do.
I thought maybe you were getting your best like Oprah impression there. You get a membership.
So. All right. So, Stephen, it's time now for our weekly bold predictions. All right, Stephen. So I don't even know if this is a bold prediction. I just called you out jokingly, of course, but feel free to call me out if this is not a bold prediction. I got Georgia leading the SEC in rushing this year. And you might say, well, heck, that's not that bold. I mean, this is mighty Georgia, right? But they're replacing a lot on the offensive line, and they finished 15th. In rushing last year. I think that may have only been in conference play. I can't remember. But again, 15th in a 16-team league with Kirby Smart as your head coach and all the talent in the world, that is an abomination. With Gunnar Stockton in there, I think Georgia's going to get away from being pass happy. I know everybody's enamored by the weapons that they'll have in Athens, and they got great weapons. I'm not saying they're going to be anemic passing by any means, but I think they'll really utilize the ground game with Gunnar Stockton, Mike Bobo calling the offense. He's always had a great track record for running the football. I think there'll be a commitment to it, and I think if they really put an emphasis on it, I'm feeling good about Georgia leading the SEC in rushing. They won't have the number one rusher. I've already said that's going to be Ahmad Hardy from Mizzou, but I'm talking a collection of an offense. Georgia leads the SEC in rushing. What's your thoughts on that take?
That's bold, Mike. It's bold, like you said, because Georgia finished 15th in the SEC in rushing, not only in the every game, but also just in SEC play. Also, I think this kind of gets at something you were kind of going on with the kind of style of offense. 31 rushing attempts a game in SEC play last season. Tennessee led the SEC with 45 in SEC games. So there's a pretty wide gap there of like top to bottom. LSU was actually last at 30. It seems like to me you'd like to see that number for Georgia a lot closer to 40. So to your point, I think about style and I think, yeah, we're enamored with Zachariah Branch and Noah Thomas and the tight ends that Georgia has. But it feels like this is like back to basics type stuff for Georgia, like line of scrimmage on defense, line of scrimmage on offense, run the ball, protect your young quarterback. And by midseason or so, you can kind of take the training wheels a little bit more off of Gunnar Stockton and you've got that good rushing game to go with the defense. So I like that prediction. And I also think to your point on the committee of running backs, I think Georgia's running backs probably a little bit underrated nationally too, because Nate Frazier, standout freshman season, Josh McCray going to be kind of the bigger back there. And they've got some other dudes there that are going to end up being studs. So I like this Georgia backfield and I like your bold prediction.
This might be too bold from Ashley Schaefer, Stephen. My prediction, Kentucky will win a conference game.
We'll get to Kentucky, right?
Right, we will. All right, so Stephen, what is your bold take for the week?
I promise we didn't coordinate this, but I'm going to stay in the same like stat category here. I'll tell you what inspired me. I've looked at like all these preseason all SEC teams and some, you know, idiot at Athlon Sports being me puts out a, you know, four teamer. I keep looking at these and I keep thinking there's one player that's not getting enough respect. Florida running back Jaden Baugh is like invisible on some of these lists. It's like people forgot that he, you know, led the team in rushing and Montrell Johnson is gone and they've got one of the best offensive lines in the SEC. 2015, Kelvin Taylor was the last time Florida had a 1,000-yard rusher. I know Billy Napier and the Gators, they're probably going to spread the rock around, but give me Jaden Baugh to hit 1,000 yards. And come December, he'll get some respect. So that's my bold prediction. Jaden Baugh gets to 1,000 yards, breaks the streak, and gets that respect that he deserves this preseason.
Yeah, I love that one. I think Jaden Baugh's going to be a breakout star for the Gators this year. So that may not even be bold. You know what? I mean, I think he could easily do that with what Florida's got back on the offensive line. We all know Billy Napier loves to run the football and the threat with the passing attack. That's one thing, Stephen, that I picked up at Media Days was just how enamored a lot of the people that cover Florida, people on the DJ Lagway as well, were kind of enamored with his receivers. So this could be the best collection of receivers. They're largely unproven, at least in the SEC level. But, man, that could be a position group that very few around the conference. I know Florida fans are very high on their receivers, but the rest of the conference may be sleeping on a little bit. But shout out cousin Trey Tucker. He said, well, I figured Stephen would say Arch would lead the SEC in rushing.
I mean, I thought that was a given. Everybody else is rushing for second, right? Hey, let me ask you something about Media Days. What was your, did you get a vibe on any team that maybe surprised you? And I'll kind of give you one. From reading some stuff out there, it did feel like there was a little bit more doubt about Georgia, and that kind of surprised me. Did you pick up on that, or did you pick on something else that surprised you?
I think the most surprising thing that I kind of came away thinking I'm too low on a team is South Carolina. So I kind of bumped them up a couple spots. We do the my media ballot prior to media days, and then the last day of it, we actually cast our ballot. So I moved South Carolina up. That's interesting because I think you're right. I know Georgia did get the second most votes to win the conference, so it's not like people are totally sleeping on them. But I didn't see a lot of people. I know Cousin Shane voted for Georgia, but he's the only one that I could think of that I saw that actually voted Georgia to be that high. So, yeah, I mean, I'm sure Kirby's playing the disrespect card, 7-5 or what have you. But, yeah, that's interesting. A lot of people are down on Ole Miss, even though literally everyone I spoke with cannot be more effusive of Austin Simmons. So that's kind of interesting that you could be high on the quarterback, but maybe down on the team. Missouri, a lot of people are seemingly underrating Missouri. Here's the thing, Steven. Everybody I talked to at media days, you know, they except for Kentucky and Mississippi State, they could hype up their team or whatever, and then you're like, man, he's right. They're going to do the X, Y, Z. They're going to be awesome this year. And then you turn around and someone's got you hyped up on Auburn, and then someone's got you hyped up on – oh, another one that was kind of hard to hype up was Arkansas. But aside from those three, everybody else was easy to hype up. So it's hard to come out. If you're more negative on a team exiting media days, I think it's going to be a really, really bad year.
I thought Sam Pittman seemed fairly confident, and that's maybe I'm misreading the room on Pittman. But to your point, we'll get into the schedule. It is very difficult this year. I also thought LSU was confident. I thought Brian Kelly kind of had just that aura of confidence coming in there with what they've done in the portal and what they've done on defense. And I mean, it's a critical year, and I try not to get too hyped one way or the other on what coaches say at media days, but it is interesting to kind of gauge what the temperature is among some of these teams in the conference.
Mm-hmm. All right. So Steven, now is the moment of truth. We have delayed for so long. We gotta do it, Steven. We're gonna predict the records for each and every team. Throw us a donation, and we'll cover your team. Let's do the people that have donated. So Austin, shout out Austin. He was the first one. Tennessee. Let's do Tennessee, and you tell me if I'm wrong, Steven. Anybody that missed it, go check these out. Our fall camp season previews, and this is kind of how I did it, Steven. You could do it totally different if you want, but the over-under 8.5 for them Tennessee Vols. But here's where I was alluding to our fall camp previews. We did win, loss, or toss for each team, and I kind of wanted to run these by you real quick, Steven, in case you missed any of them, and let me know if you strongly disagree with any of these win, loss, or tosses for any of the teams. So let's do Tennessee real quick. I've got should be wins: Syracuse, ETSU, UAB, at Mississippi State, Arkansas at home, at Kentucky, New Mexico State at home, and Vanderbilt at home. Meanwhile, I have at Bama, Oklahoma at home, and at Florida as toss-ups, with Georgia at home as the only guaranteed loss. Are there any of these that you strongly disagree with?
Not at all, Mike. I think you nailed it for Tennessee. It's interesting that's kind of how you approached it, because I went through every schedule and did sort of I think these are the clear W's, these are the clear losses and the toss-ups, and you kind of figure out from there where the games are. But I think for Tennessee, I think the games, it looks like a 3 or 4 game season for Tennessee. That Oklahoma game in November at home, Florida on the road, and Alabama on the road. Those are the ones that feel the most toss-up type games for Tennessee, because I would be very surprised if Tennessee beats Georgia, although with all the new faces that Georgia has, catching them in early September isn't bad for Tennessee.
Right. Okay, so best case scenario for Tennessee, Steven.
Mike?
Go ahead, please. Go ahead.
No, Mike, go ahead. I think we'll make Cousin Shane happy, right?
Yeah, I'm not. Well, happy for him would be 10-0, but or excuse me, 12-0. But I'm saying 10-0, because until I actually see them beat Georgia and Kirby Smart, I know they did it the one year. They needed the Hail Mary. you know, completely different teams these days. But I got to give that one to Georgia, regardless of where the game's played. I'm not saying Tennessee's got no shot, but I think catching Georgia is probably, yeah, more often than not would be favorable. But given all the transition on Tennessee, I'd actually rather play Georgia late in the year if I'm the Vols. So that one I think is a for sure loss. And then the combo of at Bama, at Florida, I'd say best case scenario, Florida's already in the dumpster. They fired Billy Napier. So maybe we're figuring out a way to win that one. I'm also very high on Oklahoma. So give me best case for Tennessee, 10-2. What did you have for the best case for Tennessee?
I agree. That's what I've got, 10-2. I think to kind of go back, I think it's a 3 or 4 game season for Tennessee. You feel good about like 8 games on the schedule for Tennessee, and then you start to fill in. Maybe they get an upset or two. They split those 4 toss-up games, and they get to 10-2 and make the playoff. I think you could maybe make a case that there's 3 games they won't be favored in. That's Georgia, Alabama, Florida. The Oklahoma one's kind of the one that's more in the toss-up side of things. So I think best case scenario, I think 10-2 college football playoff for Tennessee.
Mm-hmm. And then worst case, Steven, I'm going, it pains me to do, but I would say 7-5 with Georgia, Bama, Florida, Oklahoma, all as losses. And then a mix of 1 between Syracuse, Arkansas, Kentucky, Vanderbilt. And again, Tennessee should beat all those teams. But again, I'm going worst case here. So worst case, 7-5. What was worst case for the Vols for you?
I had 7-5 as well. I think this Tennessee team, there are questions with this team this year. But also, I think the schedule gives them a pretty high floor. And also, I think where those games are, like some of their road games are at Mississippi State and Kentucky. That's 2 of the bottom teams in the SEC. So it's going to require a team like Arkansas, like an Oklahoma to go, or Vanderbilt to go into Neyland and get a victory. So not impossible, but I think that the bottom just doesn't drop out for this team, even though the late quarterback change because of the schedule, there's a pretty favorable path to 7 or 8 wins. So I think if you throw the 4 games that we kind of talked about, Georgia, Florida, Alabama, Oklahoma, I would probably put a loss either to Vanderbilt or to Arkansas like you had as well to get to 7-5.
All right. So my official prediction, I've been going back and forth on this all day. 8-4? No, 9-3. Come on, Steve. I'll give them 9-3. Again, I don't think they could beat Georgia, but the edge there with the Oklahoma is a home field advantage. If that was at Oklahoma, I'd pick Oklahoma. I just go back and forth at Alabama. I think Alabama's winning the conference. So that should tell you how good I think they're going to be in Tuscaloosa. That's a loss. So between Oklahoma and at Florida, there's a loss there. It'll probably be, I mean, Florida owns Tennessee in the swamp. So I'm going 9-3.
I'm going 8-4. So I know Cousin Shane's probably going to kick me off of the server later tonight. Mike, I think it's the 3 games. It's Georgia, Florida, and Alabama. And I gave them a loss to Oklahoma. I feel like that game looms large, like for positioning within the conference. So I think I thought before the Nico thing, Tennessee was probably closer to 9-3. I'll deduct another win here. So I'll go 8-4. For Tennessee. They lose those 3 games, and then maybe they lose to Oklahoma or just an upset somewhere along the way.
I think that's fair. I think if we had done this 10 minutes earlier, I probably would have said 8-4 too. But I'm glad we disagree.
what prompted you to go with the more optimistic side of that Tennessee thing?
Oh, I just didn't want Shane to not show up and do his boring show. I mean, that was probably the main thing right there. But sure. Again, no, I think Tennessee will continue to flirt with the playoff. Even, you know, I think they'll be fueled. I think they're eager to prove some doubters wrong. This clearly was not a Nico, you know, a team that was Nico centric. Even though they probably would have been if he was on the roster, but they weren't last year. And I don't think they're going in the tank just because he's gone.
Totally agree with you. I think one of the overlooked parts of Tennessee's season last year is that it was a defense and running team that got them to the playoff, and Nico was kind of a supporting cast. And I think Aguilar, I think, could be really solid in this offense. There are some questions, of course, O-line, receivers. But, yeah, I think given the floor of the schedule, if you can pull off an upset or two, beat Oklahoma, you beat Alabama, or you beat Florida, that's 10-2, and Tennessee's back in the playoff.
Yep. All right. Hey, Crazy with Cheese Whiz, what a name. He just became a member to the channel. Crazy with Cheese Whiz.
Welcome to the family.
We appreciate you, buddy. All right, the second one. Of course, it's always JR, Steven. JR's usually number one. But he got beat today, but not for long. Georgia Bulldogs, Steven. Let's look at their Georgia's win, loss, or toss as we had it on our fall camp preview. And this Georgia's a little bit easier to do than most. Every game, aside from Bama, just because they're kind of cursed with Bama, Texas, which Steven is got going 50-0 this year, and then Florida in Jacksonville. Again, Florida game, a good game last year. I think Florida's going to be much better. Those are the only, and I'm not even saying that they could win all these. So those are the only ones that I have listed as toss-ups. Every other game is a win. Do you disagree with any of these?
I might add toss-up to either the road game at Auburn or the November 29th game against Georgia Tech. Because Georgia Tech gave him a game last year going on the road to play Auburn. If you think Auburn's better, I think you could talk yourself into toss-up. I don't know that I would do it, but I think that's something I might give a little bit more consideration. Is that crazy?
Yes. I forgot you were paid by Hugh Freeze, right. So that makes sense.
We're golfing tomorrow. We're watching Cousin Shane show over to it.
All right, so best case for Georgia. Again, this is, I think, is a little bit easy. I'm on record, Steven. I don't think any SEC team's going undefeated. But best case, I think Georgia 12-0. Am I crazy?
Not at all. I have the best case as 11-1 only because I don't think anybody is going undefeated in this conference. I just think it's too hard in this era. I think 12-0 in some of these smaller conferences, very likely to happen. But I just think Georgia has enough landmines on its schedule where it stumbles at least once. So I'd say best case 11-1 or 11-1. But if you wanted to be super optimistic, 12-0, you would hear no complaints either.
Yeah. And again, maybe I'm nuts, Steven, but I'm saying worst case 10-2. We went 10-2 last year, and we were at Bama at Ole Miss, which may have been the best Ole Miss team ever. Didn't make the playoff. And then Texas, you know, all those on the road, and yet we still went 10-2. So I think worst case for Georgia is 10-2.
I went 9-3. I don't think Georgia's going to finish 9-3. I think they are going to be in the national championship mix. But let's just say, what if Florida is indeed a top 10 or 12 team? They gave them a game in Jacksonville last season. You have to play Texas and you have to play Alabama. Those are potentially top five teams. I mentioned the road game against Auburn. And then, of course, Georgia Tech at the end of the year, who gave them every bit of trouble last year in Athens. So worst case scenario, you lose the two top five teams and then maybe you stumble once against Georgia Tech, Florida, or Auburn. So that's kind of really bad worst case scenario, but I would go 9-3.
Man, I'm picking up a vibe from you, Steven. Everything's negative Georgia. Georgia count, discounting. This is just your arch mania has gotten to your head, I think.
I got a pretty positive prediction on Georgia here. I mean, I hate to be Mr. Negative here, I guess.
All right, so I think the official record for Georgia, you tell me if I'm wrong, Steven. All right, give me 11-1 for the Bulldogs. That's where I'm leaning. Where are you at?
Same here, 11-1. All that negativity I just gave them in the worst case scenario, it was rat poison because I think this team is 11-1 and they're playing for the SEC championship.
All right. Well, Steven, I can promise you one thing. Kirby clipped. He stopped the clip before you said 11-1. You know, he just took every negative thing you have. It's already in the locker room. That's already official record. Georgia's going 7-5.
Clip that with the prediction that Jaden Baugh is going to get to 1,000 yards and it's going to be like, you know, Steven thinks that Florida is going to run all over Georgia this year, which isn't the case, but yeah.
Yep. All right. Shout out Steven up. So he also was the third person to donate to the show. So let's look at Alabama, Steven. Here's the win win-loss toss we had from the fall camp preview. No likely losses in our fall camp preview. Every game was a win in our book, aside from at Georgia, we had as a toss, LSU at home, a toss, and at Auburn. Now, I think Alabama's a lot better than Auburn, but, you know, Iron Bowl, all that goes with that. Jordan-Hare Stadium, I mean, that's a house of horrors at times for Alabama. So that's the primary reason I have it as a toss. Would you disagree with any of these?
What about South Carolina being a toss-up game? October 25th, last year's game came down to the final play. It's also a week after playing Tennessee in the third Saturday in October. You do have a bye week, but you are also looking ahead to LSU on November 8th. Is that crazy?
No, I think that's totally fair. And quite honestly, Stephen, if this was, like I said, I'm higher on South Carolina now than when we actually did these. I might even change that to a toss. You know, by this point of the season, South Carolina, if they have any issues on defense, will likely have found answers there. I think the offense will be even better with Laura Sellers year two. So, yeah, I think that's totally fair to throw at South Carolina because it is Williams-Brice Stadium. I think it's fair to call that a toss as well.
I think looking at this schedule, and if you look at it in the views of like automatic W's, losses, and toss-ups, I think also shows the opportunity here for Alabama this year. Because I know you like them to win the SEC, and I think you can easily start talking yourself into it. It's one of the reasons why I moved them up in my power rankings. The schedule really breaks their way. They've got the defense, and you trust Kalen DeBoer. Like, there is a massive opportunity here for Kalen DeBoer to get this team back into the playoff and make a deep run because that schedule definitely breaks in their favor.
Yeah. Okay, so best case for Alabama. This might be nuts, Steven, but again, I'm saying best case, 12-0. That's not the record I'm going with, but you know, if things break right, I think 12-0. Again, maybe Kalen DeBoer showcases himself as an elite coach that we were told we were getting. Defense is dominant. Maybe Ty Simpson emerges as maybe one of the best first year starting quarterbacks in the SEC. I don't think it's inconceivable Bama goes 12-0.
I still think it's hard to go undefeated in this conference, especially when you get Georgia and we mentioned South Carolina, throw Missouri, Auburn on the road. So I see where you're going with 12-0. I would probably lean more to 11-1 just because every team probably stumbles somewhere. No Texas, no, I mean, and you get LSU at home. That's a pretty favorable draw for Alabama.
Yeah. Okay. And then now I say all that to say worst case. We have another DeBoer, and we have quarterback throwing pick sixes, all this, that, the other. Give me worst case for Bama. Give me 9-3. Where do you lean worst case for Alabama?
I went one win lower here. I went 8-4, and that would give Alabama like a loss to Georgia. They stumble in road games against South Carolina, Auburn, maybe even a Missouri. Oklahoma beats them again. This would be like the nightmare scenario for Alabama. Defense is good again, but none of the quarterbacks are ready. Ty Simpson doesn't hit. It's too early for Keelan Russell, and Austin Mack doesn't have it. Like that, to me, 8-4 would be an absolute nightmare for Alabama. I don't think that's going to happen, but I could talk myself into it because of those road games that are kind of get into toss-up territory if your quarterback doesn't work out.
Well, I'll tell you one thing, Steven. If the Tide go 8-4 regular season, McElroy was right. Saban's coming back.
That's the connection, right? When we heard that rumor last week, I was trying to figure where's Saban coming back? And like, okay, like I mean, LSU could be open at Alabama, maybe the Dolphins too. So they're all open.
All right. So the actual record prediction for me, Steven, Alabama, give me 11-1. And again, I'm being optimistic because I think they're winning the SEC. So I clearly can't sit here and say they're going to go like 10-2 or 9-3 if I vote them number one. So this is assuming a lot breaks right, but give me 11-1 for the Crimson Tide.
I like your prediction, but I'm going to go a step lower. I'm going to go 10-2. I think 10-2, this team makes the playoff. I think they are behind Texas and Georgia, not that far though. So that puts them at 10-2. They lose to Georgia, stumble once somewhere else in the season. But I think the key here for Alabama is I think they're going to be in the playoff. And then I think the question is, by December or by January, how far does the quarterback situation progress? Because this could be a dangerous team, especially with straight seeding in the playoff. Thank goodness that's in the mix this year.
Mm-hmm. And also, Steven, thank goodness for Liquid Flames, a.k.a. Cousin Dustin. So he donated after Steven up. So let's do Florida next. This should be a fascinating one, Steven, because I'm kind of all over the map on the best case, worst case for the Florida Gators. In our fall camp preview series, we had, let's see here, six should-be wins. We had one should-be loss. That's Texas, but it is at home. So who knows? And then we had at LSU, at Miami, at A&M, Georgia and Jacksonville, at Ole Miss, all as tosses. Would you disagree with any of these?
Would you move Texas into the toss-up category just simply because it's in Gainesville? And as we talked about, there is a very low probability of somebody running the table in this conference and going 12-0.
Yeah, I'm fine with that. But I quite honestly, Steven, I'm stunned given your arch mania, Texas going to win it all. But even mighty Texas can lose a football game and still go on to win the Heisman, win the national championship. So, yeah, I think that's fine. I'll allow it.
Does Florida have one of the widest variances in, like, your records? You know, like, the upside could be college football playoff. The downside is 6-6, 5-7, maybe?
Yeah, I'm looking at the list right now. They're up there. There's one other. Well, there's maybe two. There's two others that I'm kind of all over the map on. But Florida's not far from it because the season could go off the rails in a hurry.
It felt like they had way more swing games. They have more swing games than maybe some of the other teams in this conference. And a lot of that goes back to, I know optimism was high at SEC media days about DJ Lagway and his health, but I still worry about that. Like, I mean, once you get into games, is there some sort of aggravation? What exactly percentage are we talking about? His health is a big X factor for me. But when you're talking about playing, I mean, Texas, Georgia, Miami, LSU, those could all be playoff teams this year. So it feels like there's, when you start to pencil in the guaranteed wins and the toss-up games, there's not many 100% guaranteed wins, and there's a lot of toss-ups on this schedule.
Right. So best case for the Florida Gators, Steven, I'm going 10-2. And again, we're saying best case, things break right, DJ's great, DJ's healthy, Billy Napier learns how to coach a football game. If all these things happen, Florida could go 10-2. Not guaranteeing it by any means, but where's best case for the Florida Gators for you?
That's what I had too. I have 10-2. I think if Lagway is healthy, the offense builds on what they did at the end of last season, and the same thing holds true about the defense. The defense picks up where they left off. And this Florida team, that four-game stretch was the start of something. It was not a just four-game, kind of mirage that it's not going to be replicated. It's the start of the team turning a corner. So I think you have to give them a loss or two somewhere because the schedule is so difficult. But if the team that shows up at last four games plus something better, to me, that's a 10-2 and a playoff team this year.
Now, worst case? Oh, Billy, you're going to have to pack your bags because we just went 6-6, which, again, I just said 10-2 optimistic. But if you tell me they lose at LSU, at Miami, I don't know much about Miami, but that's conceivable. Texas, at A&M, A&M smoked you. Georgia, I mean, these are racking up here. And heck, we'd have to go 4-1 the final month, I think, just to get to 6-6. So 6-6 may not even be low enough, but that's where I went worst case.
I have 6-6 as well, Mike. I think if you know, to kind of go back to the W's and the toss-ups here, I think I had maybe 7 toss-up games for Florida on the schedule. So if you kind of think how the odds of them all breaking against Florida, probably not going to happen. But it's not crazy to sit here and think, okay, they could lose to LSU, Miami, Texas, Texas A&M, Georgia, Ole Miss, and Tennessee. I wouldn't pick that, but the schedule could break down that way just given the nature of the toss-ups. And what happens if they get off to a slow start? Does Billy Napier get fired? If that's the case, you're talking about an interim coach. You're talking about the roster may check out. So this worst case scenario could be 6-6, could be even 5-7.
But it's not going to be, Steven. It's going to be 9-3. Give me 9-3 again. I said best case 10-2. So this should give you an indication. Cousin Shane's probably laughing in the comments here. Because I got Florida 9-3. I think they're going to be the breakout team. And at 9-3, Steven, not saying they're in the playoff, but depending on the nine they win, how good those two, you know, there could be a playoff team or two in that. Or you know, I think Florida conceivably could get in at 9-3.
I agree with you. And that is my prediction as well. I've got them at 9-3. I like where this team is going. So I guess Cousin Shane is maybe going to laugh at both of us for being 9-3 here for Florida. But, you know, some of this is just trust factor that Lagway is going to be 100%. Defense is going to pick up where it left off. Also, there's some program kind of progression, like they did kind of turn a corner. They are going to lose a couple games. The schedule is just too difficult. So I think they stumble at least twice. I got to give them a third loss somewhere. I'm going to go 9-3 and on the doorstep of the playoff. And to your point, this will be an interesting discussion for the committee because they are talking about all the metric changes for this year. Florida's schedule, and depending on who they beat and where their losses are, will be a test case to how the committee values strength of schedule, who you beat, and also maybe potentially close losses against good teams.
Mm-hmm. Hey, shout out our buddy Cousin Rick. Big Aggie out there.
It's Texas A&M's biggest fan, Cousin Rick. Gig'em Aggies.
Thank you, Cousin Rick. You gave us $20, Steven. Last year, the Aggies lost top two running backs, starting center, starting guard, and starting quarterback. And Mr. Colin Klein still led the SEC in scoring a 30 point stand back. Who knows how big this is going to get? I love it. So let's do A&M next, Steven. And this is how we had it in our fall camp preview series. The win, loss, or toss for them. Fighting Texas A&M Aggies here. A lot of wins on the board. I don't have a single should-be loss. Now, I'm not crazy enough to say A&M's going undefeated. But I have at Notre Dame, which Steven loves. I think he's got them 7 in his preseason. I had to kick you out of here just for that, Steven. At Notre Dame is a toss to me. Florida at home's toss, at LSU, at Texas. Those are the only games that I have as tosses. Any that you disagree with here, Steven?
Two that come to mind. What about a road trip to Missouri on November 8th? By then, Missouri probably in much better shape as far as where they are with the quarterbacks and the roster. Also, a week later, South Carolina comes in. I think Texas A&M at home holds serve. But if South Carolina does end up being maybe top 12, top 15 good with Lenore Sellers, that to me is kind of a toss-up game because he could just come in and carry this team to a victory. So those are maybe the only two I would slide into the toss-up category.
Yeah, I think that's fair. But then all of a sudden we got all these toss-ups. So again, who in the world knows? This is what, Steve, where you were asking me, you know, where's the variation? This was pretty high for me. Again, I'm always high on A&M. I'm always wrong. Best case, I think, for A&M. This is probably too high, but I'm saying 11-1. And again, you got to remember, Steven, a lot of people forget. Pepperidge Farms doesn't forget, but people forget. A&M was 7-1, and they were on top of the world, on top of the SEC. Yes, it all collapsed, but that was year one. Mike Elko, who in the heck else is 7-1? In their first season in the SEC, or even finishing 8-4, which I know it's Texas, 8-4, it's a popular joke. I make it all the time. But that was year one, Elko. I think if they can make that year two jump, this could be the breakout team in the entire conference. So on the best case, again, not my prediction overall, but best case, I think A&M could go 11-1.
I like them at 10-2, Mike, for the best case scenario. I look at that the road games with Texas, with LSU and Notre Dame. You may need an upset in there to get to the playoff. Like, if you're going to get to the playoff, you're going to have to probably pick off one of those and then run the table. You know, the other thing you mentioned last year, I'm not as alarmed by the end of the season as some people are. A lot of times when you hear sort of people talk about Texas A&M, it's, well, they fell apart late in the year. They ran into a buzzsaw at South Carolina a week after they played LSU, and then they lost by 2 points to Auburn on the road a week before they were looking ahead to the Texas game. And let's not read too much into the bowl games, because both rosters were you know, different by then for both Texas A&M and USC. This team was a win away from playing for the SEC championship game on November 30th last year. So Mike Elko did a good job last year, and I think this program is only moving on the up as we go into 2025.
Okay, well, that being said, what if it goes completely sideways? Worst case, I'm saying worst case for A&M, 6-6. Again, a lot of toss-ups. You know, if they lose all their toss-ups, I don't think 6-6, given that 7-5 is the over-under. I'm not, again, I don't think that happens, but it's conceivable to me.
I went 7-5, so I was a little bit more optimistic here. There, you know, we kind of touched on the road games against Notre Dame, with LSU, with Texas. You throw Missouri, maybe Arkansas in there. And then that doesn't take into account the home games against Florida or South Carolina. So I think in that scenario, this would be Marcel Reed doesn't take that step forward. The defensive line, secondary, that's the personnel just isn't there. They're just a year away. So I think worst case scenario, I think it is 7-5. I would be surprised if this team finished 6-6.
Yeah, whether or not, I'll tell you what they're going to do, Steven. They're going 10-2. This is my dark horse. I got A&M making the college football playoff, sneaking in. And honestly, I think 9-3 is maybe a little bit more realistic, but I've already on the record, A&M's by playoff team. So I had to put them in at 10-2. I don't think that's crazy to suggest that if things break right for A&M, they can get to 10-2.
I like your prediction. I think Cousin Rick's going to be angry at me. I went 8-4.
Well, I mean, that's actually pretty smart for A&M.
I hate to do this, but when I went the schedule, I went, you know, losses to LSU, Texas, Notre Dame. And then I thought, if I'm this high in Florida, I think Florida's probably got to go into College Station and get a victory, or Texas A&M just stumble somewhere else. So I don't love this pick, but I'm going to go 8-4 for Texas A&M.
Okay. No, that makes complete sense. You took the coward's way out. But that's fine. All right. Hey, how about this one? Steven, shout out. Dean Machine gave us $5. Let's talk about the top defensive line in the country. Cousins, Boomer. So obviously, big Sooner over there, Steven. Let's do Oklahoma. And then when we did our win-loss toss for the Sooners, this is actually the first one we did. I had the tosses, Steven, Michigan at home, Auburn at home, at South Carolina, at Tennessee, LSU at home, and then the two likely losses, Texas in Arlington there, and then at Alabama. Would you disagree with any of these?
No disagreement, Mike. I think you nailed it on this one. That Michigan game looms very large early. It's kind of a tone setter game for both teams. We'll see what Michigan and Bryce Underwood has, but also it's a good chance for John Mateer against a good Michigan defense. And of course, the Jackson Arnold Bowl in late September should be pretty fascinating. I think if you were ultra optimistic about this team, I think maybe you could talk yourself into Texas maybe isn't as good as maybe people think. Oklahoma's defense takes care of a suspect Texas offensive line. Maybe Oklahoma steals a victory in Dallas. So that would be the only one I could maybe talk myself into. But if I'm picking Texas to win the national title, I'm not sure I can call that a toss-up game, right?
Right. Okay, so best case for the Sooners, Steven, give me – and again, this is best case. This could be a difficult – schedule, no doubt. But again, the schedule sometimes, Steven, in late July look daunting. And then all of a sudden, it turns out maybe they're not as daunting. Best case for OU, give me 10-2. They honestly, I know the record is nowhere near that last year, but they weren't that far off. They just needed a competent offense. And I firmly believe they're going to be not only competent, but possibly quite good on offense this year. So best case scenario for OU, give me 10-2. Uh-oh, I think we lost Steven. He got that excited to talk Oklahoma Sooners football. Hate to see it. Hate to see it. But I will say this. One thing that really impressed me, again, it's kind of hard to get a really read on any players. You run into these players at media days, you kind of get enamored with all of them. But John Mateer, for what it's worth, dude's built like a linebacker. So I think there's something special there. All the hype, again, just a media days, wasn't even wearing pads or anything. But that really stood out to me at SEC media days, just from a guy that we haven't been able to cover in the SEC. I thought that was pretty revealing. And I don't know. If Steven were here, I'm sure he'd say, I agree with that, Mike. Hopefully his power didn't go out or anything, but I'll tell you, while we wait for Steven, I'm going to go, oh, he's back.
Always nice to have the storm knock you off. Sorry about that.
Blanche said, Steven is tired of SEC Mike's bad predictions, so he left. So that makes sense.
I must have had some Big Ten internet tonight, Mike. It's not holding up.
So I think you cut out right after this. I said best case for Oklahoma, 10-2. What is the best case you have for the Oklahoma Sooners this fall?
Mike, I've got 10-2 as well. I think this schedule, it is difficult, but also I think you can talk yourself into Oklahoma as a playoff team, and the same thing applies for Florida with the schedule, like the schedule difficulty. The committee has a hard decision, so I know they got to go on the road to Alabama and Texas, but I think they could win all the games outside of that, getting LSU at home, getting Auburn, Michigan. It is tough, but I think Oklahoma could do it.
Now, you were asking me, Steven, where's the widest variance? It may be for this team. So, because I got worst case for Oklahoma. Again, I don't think this is going to happen. But things, let's say everything goes sideways here. Oklahoma 5-7. And this was like assuming they lose to Michigan, losing to Auburn, losing all the road games except, of course, Temple. Missouri beat you again. Ole Miss, yeah, LSU. I mean, so many tough games. I think 5-7 is worst case for Oklahoma.
I'm a little bit more optimistic. I went 6-6, but I see where you're going here, because let's just say the quarterback and the offense and all that, it doesn't work out. And the defense is on the field for too long against a very difficult schedule. Also, same thing as Florida. If this doesn't go well during the season, even with the athletic director change, could this team fall apart to some extent? So I still, even with a difficult schedule, I went worst case scenario 6-6. I think they find a way to sneak into bowl eligibility. If they got to 6 wins last year with that offense, they can surely have a better offense this year and get to 6 wins again.
Right. All right. So record prediction for the Sooners official. I'm going 9-3. So again, I'm high on the Sooners. It's going to take a lot. But again, we could sit here and say, well, this, at South Carolina, that's daunting. Ole Miss, oh my God, they were top 10 last year. I mean, things are going to change by the time mid to late October, November roll around. So what looks impossible, what looks daunting today may not be there. Give me Oklahoma 9-3.
I went 8-4. I wanted to talk myself into 9-3, Mike. I was close to changing some W's and L's here, but Texas at Alabama, there's the home game against LSU and the road game against South Carolina. I think those are all, losable. They're also, for the most part, they could win some of those games too. So I kind of split the difference here. I kind of felt like the high end was 10 wins. The low end was 6. I split them in the middle and took the 8. But also, I think if you're Oklahoma and you win 8 games with the schedule, I know they're not going to put up a statue of Brent Venables, but that would be a good step forward given where this team has been the last couple of years with 2 losing seasons in 3 years and all the changes there.
And I didn't even consider this, Stephen, until now, because it just seems so far-fetched, but maybe we get there. What if Oklahoma and Florida go 9-3? Could they possibly both? I mean, we didn't have 89-3 in the SEC make the playoff. We could have multiple 9-3s if their schedules are as daunting as they appear. It's very, very unlikely, but I wouldn't rule it out that either can make the playoff at 9-3, would you?
I think they can definitely make the playoff at 9-3. I think it might be tough for both to get in just because I'm not sure the space would be there in a 12-teamer. You know, you and I talked a lot last year with being the first year of the 12-team playoff that you want to be at 10-2. But I do think given the schedule and if the strength of schedule tweaks are coming indeed for this year, I think that bodes well for those 9-3 teams. So I do think it's more likely this year than it was last year, I think.
Okay. Hey, shout out. I don't know. Crazy with the cheese whiz. Who's your squad? Let us know so we can. I can't tell based on your profile picture. We'll get to your team next if you let us know. But we did get a donation, Stephen, from Cousin Dakota, Mizzou, MIZIC, 10-2. So let's do Missouri, Stephen. They're next. Win loss toss based on our fall camp preview. I've got the only likely losses, Bama and A&M. And that's, again, because I think Bama and A&M are going to be very, very good. But you could talk me into those possibly being tosses. And then I got South Carolina at home, at Auburn, and at Oklahoma as tosses. Would you disagree with any of these?
What about Arkansas being a toss-up game? Could Arkansas be fighting for bowl eligibility in that last week of the season?
I think they might be fighting for a loss just to get rid of their coach based on what the people have been telling me down there. I get it. We like Sam Pittman, but I can't give that a toss given how Mizzou has owned Arkansas.
I think you nailed it then. I think if you feel good about Missouri beating Arkansas, I think those loss and toss-ups make a ton of sense here. I think the only one that was on my radar outside of Arkansas was the Kansas game in the second week of the season. But I think Missouri at home takes care of business there.
Right. So best case for the Missouri Tigers, Stephen, give me 10-2, and they would get that bid to the college football playoff. What is the best case you see for the Missouri Tigers?
I've got 10-2 as well, and 10-2 means college football playoff, Mike. The schedule is favorable. It's about the most perfect schedule that Missouri could ask for, given all of the personnel changes that they've got this year and a transfer quarterback in Bo Prabula. So give me 10-2, Missouri, best case.
Now, worst case, though, this is when it gets tricky, Steve. The fans, I can already tell they don't want to hear it. You know, Bo's, he's all SEC. He's God's gift to football. Every transfer we got is an upgrade. Even guys that, you know, got drafted in the second round, oh, he's better than them. Okay, so everybody's an upgrade. I get it. But I live in the real world, Stephen. I think worst case scenario, 6-6 for Missouri. Because there are a lot of unknowns. And so, you know, the way I'm looking at it, let's say Bama and A&M are likely losses, which I have it as. South Carolina beat you last year. They may have the best quarterback in the country. You were lucky to survive Oklahoma, you know, so that could be a loss. Auburn, I mean, unless Hugh Freeze completely shits the bed again, that could be a loss. Vanderbilt, you know, took you to overtime. That could be a loss. And you said Arkansas, but even worse could be Kansas. So, again, is it likely they go 6-6? I don't think so. But that's, to me, that is worst case. I think you could drop that far.
I agree with you. So I had 6-6 as well. And it's tricky because this is one of the more favorable schedules in the conference. The other thing is, if you look at that late season stretch at Auburn, at Vanderbilt, at Oklahoma, and at Arkansas, I know we talked about Arkansas as a toss-up game, but those are I do think that those are all losable road games in the SEC. And you combine that with South Carolina, Alabama, A&M. I don't think Missouri's losing all of those games, but I could talk myself into, okay, the quarterback doesn't hit. They've got offensive line problems. They can't replace enough of Luther Burden and Theo Weiss with Kevin Coleman. So the offense is just kind of stuck. So I think as much confidence as I have in Missouri's defense, I think the offensive concerns would push me to 6-6.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Carolina Jackpot, the delusion is unreal. Donald Britt Mizzou may turn into misery. Again, I don't think misery, but give me 8-4 for Missouri. That's my prediction. I hope I'm wrong for that because they got some great fans, but I don't know, a lot of question marks. And when your main storyline is the schedule looks nice, I've come to find that that's not a really good reason to believe in a team.
So I kind of tipped my hand with the toss-up game here. I was wrestling with 7-5 and 8-4, and I wanted to find a way to get that other team to be bowl eligible. So I went 7-5. I don't feel great about it. And I think one of the themes that I picked up on at SEC Media Days was just the amount of disrespect that Missouri was getting. They've won double-digit games each of the last 2 years. And here I am being an idiot picking them to go under that. But I do have some real concerns about how this offense comes together. I love their defense, but Prabula has been a part-time player. He's now being asked to be a full-time player. You take away two weapons and how this offensive line comes together. So I trust Drinkwitz. I love the schedule. I'm going to go 7-5, but I probably, if you probably gave ask me tomorrow, I'd say probably 8-4. So kind of play both sides of the fence there.
All right, Cheese Whiz. He's LSU fan, Steven. So win, loss, toss for them LSU Tigers. We got to put week one as a toss. It apparently doesn't matter the opponent, but at Clemson, tricky. Florida, even though it is at home, I got that as a toss. At Ole Miss, you've lost the last two times at Ole Miss. That's a toss to me. A&M, that's a toss to me. At Oklahoma's a toss. Only loss, likely loss for LSU is at Bama, in my opinion. Did I screw up anywhere here?
I don't think so, Mike. I think you nailed it. And I think this win, toss, and loss scenario sets up the interesting debate on LSU. Because when you look at the personnel and you look at what they did in the portal and Garrett Nussmeier back, you're like, oh, this is a playoff team. Then you start to look at that schedule and go, I don't know. I started to doubt my LSU prediction after doing this exercise.
Yeah, no doubt. So best case for LSU, which would get them to the playoff, 10-2, in my opinion, because I think you just nailed it, Steven. I get it. I understand Brian Kelly, his track record. I understand they went heavy in the portal. I understand they got Garrett Nussmeier back. So, you know, check, check, check. Should be an automatic playoff team, right? But I don't know. This is tricky. I'd love for them to prove me wrong. But I think the best case is 10-2, which again, is going to be good enough to get you to the college football playoff. And at the end of the day, that is the goal.
I have 10-2 as the best case scenario as well. I think starting with that opener against Clemson, we know they have trouble in openers. Clemson's defensive front, one of the best in the country. It's not the best matchup in week one for LSU. Also throw in the road game against Alabama, which might be important for positioning for SEC championship purposes. There's just too many high profile games on the road, plus Florida, plus South Carolina at home. I think LSU is going to lose two or three games this year. So I went best case scenario, 10-2.
And then worst case, I may be off my rocker here, Steven, which I probably am, but give me LSU 6-6, absolute worst case scenario. You know, you lose all the tosses and you know, in this scenario, you're losing to Clemson, you're losing to Florida, South Carolina can get you. Hell, they cheated South Carolina last year. As long as maybe the refs don't cheat them this year, maybe South Carolina will beat LSU. Absolute worst case, 6-6.
I went 7-5. So I'm not too far off of where you're going with this one for LSU. I think this would be a nightmare scenario where the defense just isn't much better. The portal additions are good, but they're not making an impact enough to go from maybe the bottom tier of the SEC on defense to middle of the pack or the top. Offensive line doesn't come together, and all of a sudden you're talking about Garrett Nussmeier taking too many hits when you play Clemson, when you play Florida, South Carolina, Dylan Stewart getting after them. So I think it's unlikely that LSU gets to this point, but I would take 7-5 as an absolute worst case scenario.
Yeah. So my official prediction for them Tigers, Steven, give me 9-3. I got them just outside the playoff. I've been saying all off season, I do not have them as a playoff team, but I understand the people that do, and that's fine. But I'm just not a huge believer right now. They'll be in contention all year, but I think Alabama or Oklahoma will knock LSU out of the playoff.
I've got LSU at 10-2. I picked them to make the playoff. So here we are. We are riding LSU to get to the playoff. you mentioned that Oklahoma game. You know, they knocked out Alabama last year, November 29th at Oklahoma. Could be a nightmare scenario for LSU if you're sitting there and you think they lose to Clemson, they lose to Alabama. That game against Oklahoma on the 29th could be kind of either make or break for LSU in getting into the playoffs. So this is more of a pick based upon personnel for me for LSU. Schedule's hard. I think LSU just figures it out. They get to 10-2.
Hey, shout out Wesley Williams. I missed this long ago. Gave us $5. Joey for Heisman. Go Vols. We appreciate you, cousin Wesley. I know this is unlikely, Stephen, but let's say Joey is a Heisman finalist. What, and I know record doesn't really have anything to do with it, but if that was factual, what record do you think Tennessee would achieve? Meaning they really nailed the portal addition of Joey Aguilar.
I would go 11-1. Because I think if you're going 11-1, given that Tennessee has so much turnover, Aguilar's story of going to Tennessee with no spring practice and leading Tennessee to a top five-ish type spot is a big deal. So I would say if Tennessee's 11-1, that would include a win over Georgia or Alabama. Both of those are top 10 teams. I think that's where Tennessee probably needs to be for him to get into that conversation.
Right, and I'm envisioning it now, Stephen. Tennessee takes down Georgia, and the national storylines are written, and Joey Aguilar hype, the legend of Joey Aguilar will be born that day, you know what?
We thought a quarterback that has a in either their first or last name starting was going to be the most hype one. It'll be Aguilar, not Arch, Aguilar.
Hey, shout out Bryce Carter, gave us $10. Thank you. Get this Bama BS. He said BS shit. Bullshit. Bullshit shit. Out of here. With this DeBoring is going to choke. I hope so, Steven up. Oh, I hope so. Sorry, Steven up. Go Hogs. So let's do Arkansas for cousin Bryce with the over-unders 5.5. But here's how we had it, Steven, on our win-loss toss fall camp preview for the Razorbacks. We had at Ole Miss toss, Notre Dame at home toss, Tennessee on the road toss, tosses, A&M at home, Auburn at home, Mizzou at home, all tosses, and then at LSU, at Texas, likely losses. Would you disagree with any of these?
Whew. Mike, that's a brutal schedule. I have to agree with you. There's not a whole lot of guaranteed wins on the schedule for Arkansas. I do think there is a little bit of a danger in that non-conference slate. I'm not going to predict Arkansas State to upset Arkansas, but they have been looking forward to getting Arkansas on the field. So their motivation will not be an issue. And also at Memphis could be tricky. Memphis has a lot of new faces, but they getting them going on the road to the Liberty Bowl. Of course, there'll be a ton of Arkansas fans there. That's kind of a tricky spot, but I would probably stick with your W's and toss-ups there.
Okay, so best case for them Arkansas Razorbacks. Again, I'm trying to be optimistic here, Steven. I'm going to go best case 8-4. And that means Taylen Green, probably one of the best in the country. Defense takes a step forward. And we'll probably have to pull off an upset or two. But I don't think that's wildly unrealistic that Arkansas could get to 8-4.
I'm going to be slightly more optimistic here. I'm going 9-3.
Oh, yeah. I like that.
Let's say Taylen Green really takes off. And Petrino plus Green second year equals massive production by Taylen Green. So in that scenario, that gives you losses to Notre Dame. It gives you a loss to Texas and LSU. But you get Texas A&M, Auburn, Missouri at your place, and you get Ole Miss in the first chunk of the season where all of those new faces are still sorting out. So I think best case scenario, this is a play that Taylen Green takes Arkansas to 9 victories.
All right. I like it. I like it. Now, what I don't like, Stephen, is worst case, 4-8. Where do you have them?
I've got them at 4-8 as well, Mike. There's just not a lot of guaranteed victories here. The 3 non-conference plus Mississippi State, and you might need an upset to get to 5 and then 6 victories. So I think 4-8 would be worst case scenario.
Yeah. And then, man, maybe I'm being optimistic again. I've been so pessimistic here. Let's end on a high note with the Razorbacks. Give me 6-6, which again is not really good enough. That's not the standard here, but with this slate, I would consider 6-6 a win for Sam Pittman and company.
I would too. That's what I've wrestled with, 5-7 or 6-6. And so I gave them the Taylen Green bump. I'm going 6-6 as well. I just think they find a way to pull off an upset and get to a bowl game.
Okay. How about Auburn? We haven't hit on Auburn, Stephen. Over-under 7.5. Now, this is another wild one. A lot of toss-ups here for Auburn, in my opinion. At Baylor, at Oklahoma, at A&M, Mizzou at home, at Vanderbilt, Bama at home with the only likely loss, Georgia at home. But would you disagree strongly with any of these?
I might have Georgia as a toss-up game only because Auburn gets them at home. And we've seen strange things happen in this series with Auburn getting Georgia at home. But really no disagreement. And also, I think it just shows how wide open the path is for this team this year.
Mm-hmm. So best case for me, Stephen, is Auburn going 9-3. How about that?
Ooh.
To where I think they'll likely, who knows, but I think they'll likely lose to both Georgia and Alabama. But I think in this scenario, they're probably stealing one of them. Let's give them the Iron Bowl just to make them happy down there. But that would still leave some very tricky road games where I think they trip up, even in a best case, at least probably twice on the road, because some of these, they can't beat Diego Pavia to save their life. But maybe this is the year they finally do it. So 9-3, best case for Auburn, in my opinion.
I'm going higher. I'm going 10-2, Mike. That schedule showed it. It is a wide open path for this Auburn team, and getting Georgia and Alabama at home is significant. They have a chance, not saying they will, but they get both those top teams come into their place. The other thing with their schedule is like, even if you gave them wins in one or both, you still got road games against Baylor, Oklahoma, Texas A&M, Arkansas, and Vandy. So this is tricky. The path for this team is wide open. We've talked about how they're the biggest wild card. They are. They're the hardest team, I think, in these projections to do.
Yep. Well, Stephen just said Auburn 10-2. This will be his last appearance on the show. I hope he enjoyed it. How about worst case? Again, you asked me this earlier, the highest variance. I said best case 9-3, worst case 4-8. I mean, this is a, you know, Baylor loss, Oklahoma loss, A&M loss. But I think the wheels could fall off, particularly if they get rocked by Georgia after all of that. So again, is 4-8 likely? No, but I think that's absolute worst case.
I'm a little bit more optimistic. I went 5-7.
Okay.
I think so. You throw in 3 non-conference wins and Baylor would be a loss in that scenario in Kentucky. And you kind of assume they pick up a W somewhere along the way. So I went worst case scenario 5-7, which would probably spell the end of Hugh Freeze's tenure there.
Yeah. So my actual record prediction for Auburn, Stephen, I'm going 7-5. I almost went 8-4. I almost did it, but, Man, I'm not buying Hugh Freeze. He's got to show it to me. 7-5 should not be good enough. If he's 7-5, he's back for another year, and we'll rebuild around this elite recruiting class we got.
I wrestled with 8-4 or 7-5, but honestly, the only way I could get Arkansas to a bowl game was to change the records of Arkansas, Missouri, and Auburn. So I had to go 7-5 to get that to happen. So I went 7-5 for Auburn, but also, Mike, I think this also gets at the challenge of predicting this team is there's so much of a wild card potential, an unknown at quarterback, but also a potential to go maybe 9-3 and 10-2 and be in the mix and be a playoff team. But I would like, if there's anything that Auburn needs to do differently this year, is don't beat yourself. We saw this so many times last year with turnovers and mistakes. If they can clean that up, they're already going to be in a bowl game. And the question is, what's the next step? Is it 8 wins? Is it 9 wins? That's kind of where I see Auburn this year.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's do South Carolina, Steven. How about this? This is a tricky one here. The Gamecocks, I'm gaining favor with them ever since media days. Toss is on their schedule, in my opinion, at Mizzou, at LSU, Oklahoma at home, at Ole Miss, at A&M, and Clemson, with Bama as the only loss. And I would almost even switch that. I think we've kind of already had this discussion, but if you want to switch Bama at home to a toss, I'd be 100% fine with that.
I would switch that one to a toss-up, Mike, only because it's at home. And, of course, the game was closed last year in Tuscaloosa, so South Carolina could go on the road and win there. But I think given that it's at home, Alabama would be coming off that game against Tennessee. I would take it as a toss-up.
Okay, so best case for the Gamecocks. Steven, again, this is very optimistic, but give me 10-2. For South Carolina. Sellers, best quarterback in the country. Defense remains just as strong. We find pieces at receiver and tight end. Tight end, but also maybe a running back emerges, that all happened last year. And they're very, very talented at receiver. We just need a couple guys to break out here. I know that's maybe overly optimistic given this difficult, difficult schedule, but they just went 9-3, so I think 10-2, best case scenario. I don't think that's wild.
Not at all. We're on the same page. You get Clemson, Oklahoma, Alabama coming to your place, and then you start the season with Virginia Tech in Atlanta. So a interesting toss-up game potentially is in the first game of the season at a neutral site. So I think, and to also go back to something you and I have talked about, South Carolina peaks at the right time under Shane Beamer. So if that's the case, those games against LSU, Oklahoma, Alabama, Ole Miss, A&M, they're rounding into form. That gets them to 10-2. If they were 9-3 last year, Sellers is better. I can see this team getting to 10-2.
Right. So now that's best case. Worst case, things go wrong, Steven. Oh, I mean, all these road games are losable, right? Bama's losable. I hate to say it, but Clemson, I don't buy the Clemson propaganda, but I know people like you are going to push it. So, you are more knowledgeable than I am on Clemson, but I still ain't buying it. But big fan of Shane Beamer, Steven. He came over to the table. We'll never say a bad word about Beamer ever again, except I'm going to say it right here. What is his issue at South Carolina, or what has been his issue? They start slow. So for all these hopeful Gamecocks, you can't be losing any of these first five. Maybe Missouri is about the only one you could lose. But I see a scenario, Vanderbilt, Virginia Tech, heck, even Kentucky. That Kentucky series is a wild one where the favorite usually loses. So, again, I'm talking a lot, but I'm saying worst case, 5-7. I don't think that is going to happen, but it's conceivable. If, the defense takes a step back and maybe we're overrating Sellers, I think 5-7 is conceivable.
I'm more optimistic than you, I guess, on this one. I guess maybe some shades of 2023 with Spencer Rattler back and they finished 5-7. I took 7-5. I think this would be a scenario where, Lenora Sellers is unbelievable, but the defensive issues and offensive line are just too much to overcome. And also, you mentioned the split in schedules. They've got, I think, to start 5-0 because I think they're probably going to stumble at least twice in that back half of the schedule. Now, maybe the schedule tweaks in the playoff, 9-3 can get them in, but I think you want to make some ground up if you're South Carolina early. That way, if you stumble against Texas A&M and Clemson, you're still getting there at 10-2. But I would go 7-5 with Lenora Sellers basically propping up this team to stay bowl eligible.
Yeah. Okay. So my official prediction, though, for the Gamecocks, Stephen, 9-3. So right outside the playoff, that they, you know, if they can win one more, they're in. And heck, again, same thing we said about Oklahoma and Florida, 9-3 may be good enough. Should have been good enough last year, particularly since the ref screwed you at LSU. But give me 9-3 for the Gamecocks.
I feel like I'm going to be Mr. Negative here, Mike. I got him at 8-4. I wrestled with 8-9 wins here. I was counting on you picking them like 7-5 or 8-4. I thought I'd be the high mark here for South Carolina. So, I think 9-3 is probably more likely, but I took 8-4 for South Carolina.
Okay, that makes sense. We're big Shane Beamer fans here, except for you. All right, Ole Miss, Steven, how about them Rebels here? Win, loss, or toss based on our fall camp season previews? The only tosses, Steven, LSU at home, at Oklahoma, South Carolina at home, and Florida at home with the only likely loss, Georgia, which is in Athens. Do you disagree with any of those?
No disagreement, Mike. I think that also speaks about the opportunity for Ole Miss. The season after it was supposed to happen, despite all the turnover, the schedule is really favorable. So I suspect Georgia gets its revenge for that loss this year on October 18th, but the rest of them are winnable for Ole Miss.
Yeah. Okay. So best case for Ole Miss, Steve, maybe we're better than we were last year. The Patrick Ewing theory, for anybody that knows what that is. Give me best case 10-2, lost to Georgia, and I mean, heck, you could convince me that they should be favored in every other game. They probably won't be, but you could make that argument. Whether it's at Oklahoma, LSU at home, South Carolina, maybe Florida, you know, they trip up somewhere, but 10-2, I don't think is, you know, I don't think that's likely, but I think that is in the cards potentially for Ole Miss.
I was thinking even bigger. I was thinking 11-1.
Whoa.
I think to your point, Mike, outside of that Georgia game, they could be favored in every contest. And also, what does Oklahoma look like by October 25th? What does Florida look like by November 15th? Those two teams could be coach on the hot seat situation. What does the roster look like? So I don't think Ole Miss is getting to 11-1. But if you had to do, like you said, the toss-ups and look at that slate, you can talk yourself into an 11-1 Ole Miss team.
Mm-hmm. And then worst case, a big variance here, Steven. Give me 6-6. What if all this Austin Simmons hype is incorrect? What if he's not ready? What if the defense takes a major step backwards? All these Alabama fans said, we tried to tell you about old Pete Golding. He's not worth anything. I think they're dead wrong, by the way. But if things break wrong, all your toss-ups, LSU, Oklahoma, Florida, South Carolina, you lose them all, then, you know, and heck, Lane Kiffin's known to blow another game he shouldn't. Give me 6-6, that worst-case scenario for Ole Miss.
I'm going 7-5. So I think this would be a scenario where they lose to Georgia, they lose to Oklahoma, they stumble against South Carolina or Florida, and then maybe you do get that crazy loss to Kentucky or Mississippi State in the season finale. So I would go 7-5, but also, you know, you mentioned this with Missouri, and it is something to think about with Ole Miss. The reasons for optimism start with Austin Simmons could be really good and the schedule. There's a lot of unknowns after that. I trust Lane Kiffin to figure it out. But much like Missouri, when you're going schedule, quarterback, you know, there's a lot that's going to have to fill in around that this year.
Mm-hmm. All right. So what is our official records for Ole Miss? Steven, I'm going to go 8-4, man. What? And I think fans will be massively disappointed with an 8-4 if they do hit that. But again, if that's a low mark under Lane Kiffin, we've got a heck of a program. I think this is a reloading year for Ole Miss, and I think they're gonna take a step back here.
I do too. I've got them at 8-4 as well, Mike. So I do think there is a step back. You could also look at it as a step back to take a step forward in 2026. And it's hard in this era to keep all the roster and coaching staff together. But let's just say Austin Simmons starts a little slow, but picks up momentum. Lane's been really good about going to the portal. They've been, you know, they got some guys to the high school ranks on defense. That'll be another season better. So I think it's a recycling of the roster. I think the very optimistic could get to the playoff. I think more likely it's like 8-4, maybe 7-5 if the swing games don't break your way.
Yeah. All right. So this one should be a little bit easy. I can't believe you let me go this long without getting to Texas here, Stephen. Texas, win, loss, or toss from our fall camp preview series. There's not a likely loss on the schedule, in my opinion. At Ohio State and at Georgia, only two tosses. Would you disagree with any of these?
I would add Florida to that on the road in the SEC. Yeah. I think that could be a especially a week before Oklahoma. I think that's a tricky game for Texas.
Okay. I think that's completely fair. So best case for Texas is this is Stevens, what he dreams about every night. 12-0, Arch Manning. It's God's gift to football. He's the greatest thing since Tim Tebow, Gordon the Sub. Give me Texas 12-0. That's best case scenario.
I agree with you. I think
surprise.
I almost wrote down 11-1 just because it's hard for every team to go undefeated. But given that Texas has, I mean, I don't want to say it's a two-game schedule here because some of these games could be difficult. I mean, we mentioned Florida, Ohio State, Georgia. You know, what about like Texas A&M being better? There's other opportunities to lose a game, but the schedule, if you think they're the number one team or the team to beat, it's got to be 12-0, even if it's very difficult for anybody to go undefeated in college football.
All right, this may surprise you, Stephen, but worst case, absolute worst case, 8-4. We heard several 9-3s at media days, but heck, I mean, at Ohio State, at Georgia, let's say those are losses. I think you're 100% right with Florida, you know, in the swamp. And then who the heck knows, Oklahoma A&M, you know, let's say they split those. Again, this is absolute worst case scenario, but I think 8-4, I don't think that's totally unrealistic.
I would go 9-3.
Okay.
I think Ohio State at Florida and then at Georgia.
Right.
Wouldn't rule out maybe like Oklahoma, like you said, but it feels like given where they've been as a program with the expectations this year, it feels like the worst case would be like a 9-3 type season, almost like Alabama had last year.
Right. No, I think that's totally fair. And again, I say all that to say, I think they're going 11-1. That's my official prediction. So I don't think they're touching 8-4, but I think they're far closer to undefeated than they will ever be at 8-4.
100% agree. I've got Texas at 11-1. And then, Mike, you thought I was going undefeated. They're going to lose somewhere. I think they probably lose to Georgia in the regular season.
The upset of the show. Steven sees them losing a game. I can't believe it. We may have to shut this thing down.
Somebody tried to earlier with the power.
that must have been John Mateer. Okay, how about Vanderbilt? Steven, again, I can't believe this over-under is so low from our fall camp previews. Now, maybe, because there's some tosses here. At Virginia Tech, at South Carolina, Mizzou at home, at Tennessee, Auburn at home. I got all those as tosses and likely losses at Bama, LSU at home, at Texas. So, you know, just based on the schedule, this is pretty daunting in itself, but do you strongly disagree with any of these?
Not at all, Mike. I think you nailed it here. It is kind of funny to think about Alabama as a loss given what happened last year, but I definitely would agree with you. Like, that's one of the ones I penciled in as a win for Alabama right away. Same thing for LSU and Texas. Very difficult schedule. I think that's the storyline for Vanderbilt this year.
Right. But now, you could say the same thing last year, Stephen. They didn't have any business getting a 6-6, and they all proved us wrong. So for me, best case, with same thing I did on our fall camp preview, call me crazy all you want. Best case, 8-4, in my opinion, with losses to Bama, Texas, LSU, and then probably South Carolina or Tennessee. Because, again, Vanderbilt, should they be beating the rest of these teams? No, they should not. But they play a style of football that is just insane, and they got a difference maker in Diego Pavia. So 8-4 on the very, very, very high end. Give me best case for Vandy, 8-4.
I was going 9-3. I think there's a little bit of Pavia magic. And certainly, you know, maybe the SEC caught on a little bit to this Vanderbilt offense, but another trip through the offseason to add some stuff to the offense, a veteran defense coming back. It's going to be hard, but best case scenario, like they lose to Alabama, maybe they lose to Texas, and they lose to LSU. If you told me they beat South Carolina and Tennessee to get there, I wouldn't be totally shocked. So that's the super, super optimistic 9-3 pick for Vanderbilt.
Yeah. Now, okay, we're optimistic. Now, pessimistic.
Yeah.
Things fall apart. You know, we're back down in the dumps. 4-8. I think that is worst case for Vandy.
I would go 5-7. You 4-8 might be probably a little bit more realistic here, just given the fact they get Virginia Tech in non-conference play. So I kind of went 5-7 as you get Kentucky, you get Utah State, Georgia State, and East Tennessee State Charleston Southern, sorry, to start the season. There's four. They pick off an upset. That's five. I think keeping Diego Pavia healthy is the key to this, because without him, this is probably a 3 or 4 win team.
Right. So my official prediction for Vanderbilt, Steven, you tell me if I'm wrong, give me 6-6. They're going to pull up an upset or two, just like they did last year. This is going to be a tough out. They return more than anybody on the offensive and defensive side of the football. Everybody's, especially Cousin Shane, is going to discredit these guys. Not me, Steven. Give me Vanderbilt, 6-6.
We're on the same page, Mike. Vanderbilt is going to go to a bowl game. I got 6-6 as well. I do think this is a better team this year than they were last year. I'm just not sure it shows up in the win column because of that schedule.
Okay, well, I'm glad we were optimistic, because we got two more. We're going to be pessimistic yeah. about here, Steven. Kentucky, we didn't even get around to doing a fall camp preview. They're not worth it, in my opinion, given everything we've seen. Best case scenario for Kentucky, man, give me 7-5. I think that's best case scenario for Kentucky. Could you conceivably see that?
I went 6-6. I think it's going to be hard to get four wins in non-conference play. And just looking at the rest of that SEC slate, I was kind of like, where are they going to be favored? And this is assuming, like, best case scenario that Auburn ends up being as good as we think, Vanderbilt too. So I went 6-6 for best case scenario for Kentucky.
Now, worst case, totally different story for me, Steven. I'm going 2-10.
Yeah, that's what I had too, Mike. It's not crazy to think they could lose to Louisville. Toledo is the preseason favorite in the MAC. They are going to be a difficult out in the first game of the year. They are a veteran team, which is a dangerous thing for Kentucky with a lot of new faces in the opener. So I think 2-10 is the worst case scenario as well.
Yeah, and then give me – now call me crazy, Steve. Maybe I am crazy. I think I might be. But give me 5-7. I think Kentucky, and sadly that's overachieving in my mind. I think they steal one in conference play. I don't know where. Auburn, Vanderbilt, heck, maybe even not Tennessee, but I think they'll steal. Maybe Ole Miss. Heck, they beat them last year. So I'm being overly optimistic. Give me 5-7 for Kentucky.
Mike, I'm gonna be the bad guy here. I'm going three and
five
nine.
I thought 5-7 was the bad guy, but three and nine.
I actually had Kentucky beating Ole Miss, and I thought there's no way Ole Miss is finishing 7-5. So I changed it. Kentucky's 3-9. I've got them beating Toledo and, of course, Eastern Michigan and Tennessee Tech. But I think to your point, the law of averages suggests that they will find a win in SEC play. I don't know where, because it is a hard slate. Maybe it's Vanderbilt. Maybe it's Auburn. I've got them 3-9. I would, if you asked me to put an over under on it, I think they'll find a win in SEC play somewhere.
Maybe you haven't heard, Stephen. Stoops is motivated.
Yes. Yes. I love all the memes, by the way. So it's good.
All right. Final one here, Stephen. Mississippi State, best case scenario for the Bulldogs. Give me. Now, this is on the high end, Stephen, but it, you know, year two, Jeff Lebby, maybe things break right. We'd have to steal multiple conference games. Best case, 6-6 and making the postseason. I don't think that is wild to suggest, given that they've added some 60 odd players. You know, we'd have to hit on a lot of those via the transfer portal, but I don't think it's completely off the table.
I agree with that. I think 6-6 would be my high mark for Mississippi State. That requires beating a good Arizona State team in week two. Also, you could look at it as Mississippi State, as low as they were last year, gave Arizona State a battle in Tempe. It's in Starkville this year with a brand new roster. So what if you did pick up an upset there? That's four. Maybe you get Arkansas. If Arkansas is in a little bit of disarray from a coaching standpoint, and then you get Ole Miss in Starkville, and a game that could be for bowl eligibility. So I got 6-6 as well. Very optimistic case for Jeff Lebby making an improvement.
Now, worst case, I mean, I think we just saw it. 2-10. I think that's still on the table. I don't think that's a record, but I think that's absolute worst case once again for State.
Absolutely. That's what I had too, Mike. And we kind of ran through the SEC games there. I think the question is, like, where are they going to be favored in SEC play? I don't see a game right now. Non-conference play, they're an underdog or will be an underdog against Arizona State. But also that game against Southern Miss on the road, Southern Miss has a ton of new players. They're going to be much improved this year. Could be tricky. So 2-10 gives you wins against Alcorn State and Northern Illinois. Northern Illinois, by the way, beat Notre Dame last year. Granted, they have a brand new roster, so they're dangerous as well.
All right, so my official record prediction, Stephen, I hope I'm wrong, it would be an improvement. Give me 4-8 for Mississippi State.
I'm going 3-9, Mike. I hate to be Mr. Negative here. The same thing with Kentucky. The law of averages suggests with all the new players, second year of a coach, they'll find another win somewhere. Right now, though, I just can't find a place in SEC play to give them a W, and I think Arizona State's still a top 15 type team right now. I had to go 3-9 for Mississippi State.
I think that's fair. I think it's kind of sad we're having to hype it up 4-8, but that's where we're at, and hopefully Mississippi State can prove us dead wrong and give those fans, and they got some tremendous fans. Hell, we got several in the comments here every episode, even though their program's currently in disarray. So they deserve better. Hopefully they get it.
I think Mississippi State's running back group, maybe one of the more underrated positions within the SEC. Also, I do think a second year of Blake Shapen probably pays off. You know, I'm interested to see how all the transfers and weapons play out. So I think it's a case where Mississippi State's probably better, but does it show in the win column? Like, maybe it's just 3-9, maybe it's 4-8, but I think they're way more competitive this year. And then, of course, the schedule, we'll see what happens next year. But I could see them taking a jump in 2026 with a kind of a more competitive team this year and then a bowl team in 2026.
Mm-hmm. All right, Stephen, so we went well over 90 minutes here. Any closing thoughts before we wrap this one up?
Apologize for all the power issues tonight. And as always, thanks to all the cousins for picking up the magazine and supporting Athlon Sports. Really appreciate it. It's on newsstands and it's available at our website, athlonsports.com.
Darwin says, got to go. He's going to go vote for Arch in the 2036 presidential election. So, as always, I appreciate each and every one of you. Don't forget to shout out our sponsor, MyBookie, presenting sponsor. Go to MyBookie.ag, put in that promo code SEC. They will give you 100% instant deposit. It may have shifted down to 50% already. That was a SEC Media Day special. But go check them out. Help us out. Help the show out. Go to MyBookie if you're thinking about wagering this college football season. And don't forget, Cousin Shane is the SEC Morning Hangover, 7:30 Eastern, 6:30 Central. That's AM. Steven and I will be asleep. But a couple hours later when we wake up, we'll check it out. For Steven and I, we appreciate each and every one of you. We'll be back tomorrow, Cousin Shane and I, for the night show. Let's see if Shane will show up for two in one day. Fingers crossed he'll do it, but there's no guarantees. But until later, we appreciate each and every one of you. We'll catch you tomorrow.
Hey, buddy, this beer's for you, Mike, and Cousin Shane. That SEC podcast loves the pirate, and the pirate loves that SEC podcast. Hail State.